Hello, hello. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome
back to another week, another episode of Profound Truth. Your brother Ernie here and brother Ignacio.
Amen, amen.
How you doing, Ignacio?
Very good, brother Ernie. Good. I'm happy today.
Amen.
You know, even though you feel under the weather or whatever, you know, you had to be there for the Lord. And definitely, we are here for you. We are here to share beautiful things that God has with us.
Yes. And we have a very interesting topic today, a very topic that we're going to look at from some things that maybe not everybody looks at. It's called the trap against God.
Wow, brother. When you heard that, what has come to your mind?
And honestly, somebody trying to trap God.
Yeah, and that's kind of like something difficult to do, because God is not you and I, right?
Yes, it's like trying to trap God is just crazy. But best believe we're going to get into it, and we're going to see exactly an example of some people in the Bible that tried to trap God. But as always, before we get started, let's open it up with some prayer quick, and then we'll get into this topic.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for another week, Lord. Thank you for allowing us this opportunity once again, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to have this platform to be able to speak about you, Lord,
Jesus.
God, with freedom, Lord, for your word says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you for the freedom to be able to talk about you, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to have this platform. We thank you for everyone watching that's been watching, still watching, continue to watch, and somebody that'll watch or listen to this later as well. Pray that you be with them, Lord, and bless them. Let this bless them in a way. And so just open up their eyes and their ears to hear everything,
Lord,
being said, Lord. And help us as we even talk about this, Lord, for us to see something maybe that we didn't see before. Help us to see, Lord, exactly how you see things, Lord. And just let it be your words flowing through us here tonight, Lord, as we discuss this topic here, Lord. Help us to gain a little more knowledge, a little more insight, Lord. Help us to use us to grow closer and get closer to you and understand you more, Lord. And we love you, God. We thank you, Lord, for all this, Lord, and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Wow, this is so good. Definitely, we love God. Yes, we definitely want to share with everybody this amazing episode. Now, the trap against God. This particular topic, we have some slides to share with you guys, but also we have description, which is the most important part, right? Because
amen, that's right.
Faith coming by hearing.
Yeah, and faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So we got to give you the word. That's the most important part right there.
Now, just to bring in context before we go into this, we're going to be talking about John.
Yeah,
you
the
know.
Book of, yeah, it'll be John chapter 8, verses 2 through 12 is what we'll be looking at. The most part, that's where all this is at.
Definitely, yes. And, you know, this is really basically one of the part that we want to highlight, you know, is talking about in a trap, you know, literally it's a trap that the people, you know, after Jesus coming from the Mount Olive, he came early in the morning to pray and just give it the context before we read the description. And then what he was teaching, brother, this is something that I cannot understand. The Lord is teaching for you to understand. And yes, there are people that they don't like that.
No.
And they will do everything, brother, to jeopardize
to try to trap him or trick him into to make him even contradict himself.
But then they not only went against God, but also they went out against those people that were listening and learning about what the Lord was saying. Because, you know, sometimes it's not just you're messing with somebody. You're messing with other people. Because if one situation might affect the other situation, you know. If you, for instance, if you share this video, this sharing can help somebody to see this video, you know.
Yeah.
And learn something from the Lord. You see how one action can reach other and good reaction. But if it's negative, then it will have the same impact, but negative, you know. And before we jump in, let read this verse before we go in and then exploring. Now, something that you guys are going to learn is that in this particular episode, you will be able to see Jesus acting as a God in the Old Testament, but also showing them who he is. Because this is powerful. It's not just a random story. And let me tell you, brother and sister, whatever happened in the Bible, whatever Jesus he's doing it with a purpose. Amen. And we have to have that connotation and reference on the Old Testament in order for us to understand it, to be able to understand it. So, brother, go ahead.
Yes. So, John chapter 8, starting with verse 2, says, "Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?' This they said, testing him, that they might have him something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, 'He who was without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first.' And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.' Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" Wow, that's a lot being going on there, a lot being said.
We have to unpack all this because that's have a lot that I think we have to see this in a very, very unique way, you know, because Jesus said right there, he did and said a lot. And I think online? We're online?
YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, we are.
Yes, let's start with just in that very beginning, I think the first thing.
So, is the first topic we're going to have sharing with you, guy? And, you know, this is going to be good. Let me see if you guys will be able to see the screen, which I don't see on the screen. Interesting. Okay, let me go back. Okay. Okay, now we are back in business.
Good.
Yeah, perfect. So we were trying the screen and it didn't work. But now we can go. Okay, of course, like always, welcome to Profound Truth. And you see the topic right there. So, brother, the first part that we're going to that we're going to observe is right here, right? Our focus, if you can, you can read that one.
Our focus in John 8, 1 through 9, a passage that tells the story of a woman caught in sin and the attempts of the Pharisees to ensnare Jesus. But beneath this surface narrative lies a deeper message, a confrontation between human wisdom and divine wisdom.
And you know what? I might go full screen.
There you go.
Okay. So right there, we see something. In this particular episode, we want to explore, I believe, five different points, if it's possible. And you guys allow us, right? Okay. So the first one said,
setting a trap is laid. They've laid the trap.
Yes. And the second one,
it's the question of justice and hypocrisy.
We're gonna see all those.
And the third one is Jesus writes on the ground. Number four, the power of divine wisdom. Number five, a call to action.
Now, this is what we're gonna be emphasized now, brothers and sisters. The setting is the trap is laid. Maybe we can say that they just wait in that moment to entrap the Lord.
They was looking for that moment that they could be like, ah, we got him.
So this is what they did. And if we can read this, let me see if I can read this first one. So the setting, it said, imagine the scene. Jesus is teaching in the temple early in the morning, surrounded by eager listeners, hungry for truth. You see what I'm saying in the beginning? Mm-hmm. These people are hungry for truth. And suddenly, the pieces shattered. As the Pharisees drag a woman before him, accusing her of adultery. Now, this is interesting, brother, because what they did, it's not something else. They come with the part. If you can read this. They came
to invoke the law of Moses.
So basically what they say, Lord, we found this woman in the very act. And that's what you read before. Yeah. In the very act. And the law of Moses say that we have to stone this woman.
But what's crazy, think about Ignacio, how did they catch her in the very act? That's kind of crazy already.
That sounds like a setup.
Yeah, that sounds crazy already.
Now, but this is beautiful because they came to learn something here, because it's not just you coming up. Yes, you catch this woman, and I love the fact that they came to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Because thanks God, they came to the Lord. Now we have this story to learn a powerful for many way, because with this I can see how my Lord heart is.
Yeah.
God is so compassionate. God is so love that even when you are guilty, when you don't have choice, God is right there. Yeah. And look what the Bible said. After this, they brought this woman.
Yet
conveniently
they left out the man, because the law doesn't say just bring the woman, because the woman and the man were both in adultery. So where was the man? They were supposed to, they're gonna bring the woman, they gotta bring the man, because he's just as guilty as she is.
Hold on, you said something very, very powerful right there, brother, because go to Leviticus, I believe 20:10, right?
Yeah.
Look what the Bible said.
Leviticus 20:10. The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Both of them, not just one.
But go. Let me see another part of the Torah. I believe it's in the Torah.
Deuteronomy.
Yeah. Let me see. Yeah.
Deuteronomy. So Deuteronomy 22:22-23. Hold on. That one's a little smaller. Ignacio, I'm about to pull that.
Oh, okay. But look at what the Bible said in this particular one, you know. And I love the fact. I hope people can see that. From
Deuteronomy 22:22-23. If a man is found lying with a woman married to a husband, then both of them shall die. Both of them shall die. The man that lay with the woman and the woman, so you shall put away the evil from Israel. If a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to a husband and a
go
man
to the 24.
Finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of the city and you shall stone them to death with stones. The young woman because she did not cry out in the city and the man because he has humbled his neighbor's wife. So you shall put away the evil from among you.
Wow. So
it's clear that the law of Moses says both of them.
This is the amazing part. The law of Moses says both of them, but they only bring the woman.
Yeah.
Now, this is why we said a trap. Remember, if Jesus say, okay, according to the law of Moses, you can go ahead and stone this woman until she die. They immediately would say, they would accuse Jesus of sedition. You know what is that? Sedition is when you provoke a group to do some type of disorder. Even here, it's a really crime, you know. Sedition is when the people are acting, you know, to disrupt the harmonies from the entire town, and then they can be accused into the government, which was, by the way, the Roman government.
Yeah.
And
in a way, it's
they would
like,
be able to entrap Jesus.
I'm trying to think of the word you're using, but another way I can describe it, I guess, would be like if you were to start a riot, enticing a riot, like they were starting something. That's what they were doing because
basically
it was
that's sedition.
Enticing a riot. Yeah.
And then if he say no, be kind with this woman, then they will say, no prophet should be you're a false prophet because you say you went against the law of Moses. Yeah. So either way,
because back then the law for the Jews couldn't carry out they couldn't declare or carry out capital punishment or murder. They couldn't. They had to go by the Romans and get the permission to do something like that.
Now that you say it, this is biblical. They cannot kill anybody.
Yeah.
Because the Romans, remember this country are under this law.
Yeah.
So let me see if you can read this verse.
John 18:31. Then Pilate said to them, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore, the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death.
So you see right there on the description, the reason why they cannot kill anybody.
Because they'd be breaking the Roman government's law.
And, you know, the book of history say that the Romans, they were very, very brutal. Yeah. When you kill somebody, some punishment, you can see that even Jesus was crucified. And he was innocent.
Yeah.
But there are some, the history say that sometimes when you kill somebody, they put the body of that person over there on top of you. And they change you with that person until this body decompose and then the whatever situation kill you because, you know, you're going to be killed because of any type of disease, you know, that you're going to receive. But look. How crazy this is sounds. If you kill somebody without their approval, they're going to punish you so bad that you're going to lose your life. So they understood this very clear. Yeah. So that's why they said, no, you do it.
Yeah.
That's why
I mean, because at that time, the Roman was the government. They were the government, the reigning government over that area, even all throughout Israel. So if to go against them, that's breaking the law. That'd be like us breaking the U.S. government law today. It's the same thing. So they would be going against the the law. It's illegal for them to do that.
Wow. I like the fact that Jesus, what they are doing, all those things, what is it, what the Bible said? And this is for the next point. The next point is as follows. The question of justice and hypocrisy.
As they present their accusation, they pose a question. Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say? And so here lies the trap.
Wow.
So like we were saying, that's where they're trapping them, because if he says, okay, stone her, then he goes against the Roman government law. But if he says don't stone her, then now he's going against Moses' law, which of course that's what they live their life by. They live by Moses, by the law, by Moses' law.
Now, this is what I love about this. He said, if he disagreed, he risked being seen as opposed to the law of Moses. Like we were saying, no prophet can go against the law of Moses. Because remember, Jesus is a rabbi teaching. And Jesus is telling them that he coming from God.
Yeah.
Now, if he opposed to the law of Moses, then they would say, wait a minute, you are a false prophet.
Yeah.
Because you are saying that you're coming from God, but at the same time, you are going against the law of Moses, which we know for sure it came from God.
Yeah.
And that's what they're trying to entrap.
And something else I noticed is notice how they call him teacher. And knowing they didn't believe in him and his teachings, but they're like, teacher, this woman, like everything about it is just a setup that they're manipulating him. They're what people call nowadays, they're gaslighting him. They're like, oh, teacher. Like, oh, now you want to call me your teacher. But it's like, you don't even believe in my teaching. So why are you calling him?
And I'm going to tell you, these are the two group of people. The one that are supposed to teach the scripture.
Yeah.
And the one, what was the other group?
The right here is the Pharisees and the scribes. The scribes are the ones that would write the stuff.
Exactly. And we see that in Daniel, right? Mm-hmm. And those two individuals, they care less about the law. You know why? Because at the time that they approached to the Lord, they already broke the law. How? You remember what we said in
Deuteronomy.
Levitical, right there? If they really, and the Bible said that if you broke one of the points of the Lord, you're guilty of 100%.
Yeah.
And they intentionally already sinned because they didn't bring the man.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about God. Because God, at the same time that they are telling him this, what is it what he do? And this is gonna be the next slide, I believe. Jesus, right on the ground. So, what does that mean, brother? Let us see if we can add some
content. Jesus writes on the ground. In response to their challenge, Jesus bends down and begins to write on the ground. What does he write? The scriptures do not tell us, but this act is a powerful reminder of Exodus 31:18, where the Lord himself inscribes the law on tablets of stone.
Wow. Now, brother and sister, this is what I see that Jesus is God. In the Old Testament, what is it what we see? Let me see if I have that scripture. I don't know. Maybe yes. Let me see.
On Exodus.
Yeah.
Get Exodus 1. What was it? 31?
Let me see. No, I think I don't have that one. Yes.
Exodus, I can read it. Exodus 31:18 says, and when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, He gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God.
Hold on, hold on. Written with what?
The finger of God.
And what is it, what he's doing here?
He's got his finger, he's with his finger writing on the ground.
Writing on the ground. This is what we want you guys to focus on. On the Old Testament, God provided the law of Moses. And he gave it two tablets. And what is it? Written
with the finger of God.
With the finger of God. Now, when they come approach to the Lord, they want to trick the Lord.
And use the law of Moses.
Yeah, against God. Yeah. And what did he say? I am the one
who wrote this
who
law.
Wrote the law. And you're coming to me to trick me with this. Law. Oh, okay. Yeah. Immediately. Now, the question is, why none of them were able to say, you know what? Let it do it. Now, before I go to that point, I love to go to the next slide because, brother, this is getting more powerful than ever. Let's go to the next slide. The power of divine wisdom.
Power of divine wisdom. Brothers and sisters, divine wisdom does not condone sin, but it meets sin with grace.
Wow,
it challenges us to look at ourselves before we cast stones at others.
Wow, brother, this is amazing. So, Jesus, in this particular one, he's telling them something good.
Yeah, he's not dismissing the seriousness of adultery. He's exposing the hypocrisy of those who would judge without recognizing their own sinfulness.
Now, what they are talking, they think that he has been that he is ignoring them because the Bible says that he is reading the ground.
He didn't even answer them.
He's not answering. Yeah. And they get a kind of insistence, you know, master or maestro or teacher, please tell me what is going on. Because they feel we got him. We got him.
They thought they had him. That's where we talk about there's their wisdom and then there's divine wisdom. They thought in their own wisdom they thought they had
him. Yeah.
But they didn't.
Brother, but this is great because I love the fact that God always, brother and sister, use divine wisdom and he used his mercy and grace to help us to go move forward. Whatever situation you've been in trap, whatever situation mentally you feel that you cannot move forward from that, I'm going to tell you that God's grace is available for you today. Just like he used his grace and his wisdom to help this woman. Let me see. The Bible says that they continue highlighting, continue calling. And God, man, God is so good that I cannot stop for a second. How beautiful is his power? How beautiful is his power? Now, before we go to the next slide, I wanted to bring something. These people are calling Jesus, God, what is it? Give the answer to the question. And what was his answer? I want you to think about it. He didn't dismiss the part of that the love of Moses told them to do that. Because he couldn't say, you know what? This is not right. This is not just. I don't want this to be continued. Because he's God. But remember, he came to fulfill the law. God, Jesus, on the flesh, he fulfilled the law. And what did he say? What did he say, brother? To this particular question that they say? The law of Moses asked us to stone this woman.
He didn't say nothing at first. He started writing on. That's when they were testing him, and he just started stooping down, and he reminded them, "I wrote the law of Moses."
Yeah, and then when he stand up,
tells them, he who was without sin.
Look at them.
He who was without sin among you, let him throw the first stone.
Now, this is the amazing part that I count this fascinating. Why one of them said or did or say, you know what, Jesus? I feel that I'm righteous and I'm going to throw this stone to this woman. Why they didn't? You know why?
No.
Because they sin.
Yeah.
Beside whatever they life yeah. they have, they sin against God by bringing only
the woman.
The woman.
Yeah.
Right there, he yeah. got them.
That was.
If
that's
somebody,
not including whatever yeah. else they could have. That was just right
that's
there.
Just right now. There yeah, with the law right of Moses. Yeah. They he can use it that.
Yeah.
And yet, guess what, brother? I see this powerful wisdom from the Lord, because if somebody throw the stone, he would say, hold on. How come you are about to throw this woman some stone, some rock? If the love of Moses said that if you find this woman with a man, you had to bring it all
yeah.
together.
Yeah.
So you broke the love of Moses. You're a false teaching.
Yeah.
Right there, he can yeah. use that. But everybody... The Bible said that everybody
one by
left.
One. Yeah.
They all believe first. And then the little one.
Yeah.
One by one. I wonder why.
It says they were convicted by their conscience. They were convicted. Amen. They knew they messed up. They knew they sinned. And like you said right there in the beginning, by not bringing the man also, they were sinning. I mean, that's just the sin that was right there, not to mention... Hey, we're not perfect, so I guarantee they had a lot of other sin besides just that. But that yeah. was just right there in that moment.
Exactly.
At that present time, that they were already sinning and just approaching Jesus the way they tried to approach the situation.
Ooh. God is so good. So going back to the next point that we want to share, a call to action. Now, I'm going to read the first part of paragraph. And brother, you're going to read the second one. What does this mean for us today? It calls us to a higher standard, a standard that reflects the heart of Christ. In a world that often seeks to entrap, accuse, and condemn, we are called to be vessels of his grace. This is so true, brother. What do you think about that?
Yeah, we have to show grace. Like I think about kind of like in this situation, Jesus is telling him, he without sin, throw the stone first. And then there's another verse where Jesus says, before you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, first you have to take the log that's out of your eye. Because right here, they're trying to point out her sin. But meanwhile, they're not looking at the sin that they already have, that they already did. So we have to be grace, because none of us are perfect. We mess up. And kind of like what we're saying, it's not that Jesus wasn't condoning the sin, but if he's going to be a righteous judge, then before he deals with her, the people that brought it to his attention, he's got to address them too as well, because they were yeah. in sin as well.
Now, I love this, that help us to understand, you know, as we reflect in this particular time, after the Jesus... Because the Bible says that Jesus went back to the ground, continue reminding them that I am the Lord who wrote the law of Moses. But I'm still a God that have compassion,
yeah.
that love each one, that wants that everybody to, you know, to get saved. Now, this is what intrigued me, brother. If you can look for this, Bible verse, I believe, let me see, that caught my attention so much, and I believe it's Jeremiah. Yeah, Jeremiah 17:13. Let me tell you why all these people, brother and sister, rather than they just leave right there, they shouldn't come to the Lord and repent themselves and ask God for forgiveness. But in this particular verse, another verse that can connect the reason why these people didn't repent. And what happened when you trying to pretend smarter in front of God? If you read
Jeremiah 17, 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth because
what,
they have...
What? If you forsake me, you should gonna be ashamed. What do these people do? They abandoned Jesus.
Yeah.
They depart from Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Shame them.
Yeah.
Because God showed them who they are. That they are not loyal. First, because if you come with the law of Moses, you have to respect them and follow the law of Moses if that's what you want to do. But they broke the law of Moses first.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just want to condemn this woman.
Yeah.
Where is the guy? Yeah. The Bible is very clear.
Yeah, that both of them, not just one.
Exactly. So keep reading this
it says,
verse.
Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters.
Wow, the fountain of the living water. What? That sounds familiar, the verse. The fountain of the living water. Now, if you go to John, let me see. It has another description that say
about the living waters.
Yes, I forgot. John. Okay, John. I have it. It's hard because I have it on Spanish. Yeah. Okay.
John 4. Or no, John 7:38.
Okay, if you go John 7:37, from 37 to 39. What do you think? In this particular verse, we will be able to see who is Jesus.
Yeah, John 7:37 through 39. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But wow. This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified.
So, on the Old Testament, you say, on Jeremiah, you say that the Lord is the river
of living water.
Or living water, but over here, he said that whoever accept him will drink the water of the living water, and this is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see how all three overall working together,
mm-hmm.
in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, that's another proof that tell you, brother and sister, that God always has been working with us and that he doesn't want anybody to be ashamed. But if you forsake him, if you don't look for him, if you pretend that you are enough, sufficient, that you cannot humble yourself and approach to the Lord, you're going to lose the whole thing. And then, if you can go back to John 8:7 and respond to what Jesus told this woman that make the whole...
Oh, after what he tells her?
Yes.
After everyone left?
Yeah.
He said, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord."
Wait a minute. Out of this crowd,
nobody.
She knew that there is no hope for her. Brother, if you and I are being guilty, there is no hope. You know that you're guilty. She knows that she is guilty because she knew that she was doing something that is not appropriate.
Yeah.
But what is he saying?
She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more."
Bam! This is my Lord. This is what he said to you right now. Go. He won't condemn you. Go and sin no more.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not here to condemn you. He has grace. But in him saying that, he wasn't, he's recognizing that she did sin.
She did.
But they sinned also, so he's not gonna hold her as worse than
they. At a different standard, right?
He's not gonna hold her at a different standard. But he made it clear, you sin, I'm not condemning you, but go and sin no more. Don't continue doing it. Like, you did it, you got caught. They try to accuse you and bring you in front of me. But, you know, the way they came about it wasn't the right way because they were sinning too. So I'm not condemning you as they try to condemn you, but I am telling you to go. You're good, but don't sin anymore. Don't continue living this lifestyle that you were in.
Wow. I'm not minimizing that. The fact that they wanted to trap you. But at the same time, I'm not minimizing the fact that you committed sin.
Yeah.
What beautiful. Because this woman and those people, they need to approach to the Lord to seek for his help.
Yeah.
Of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Because if she went back to do the same thing, she's going to get in trouble too.
Yeah.
Because this time the Lord was able to use his grace and divine wisdom.
Yeah.
And she was saved.
But he's clear. Don't just go. Like the Bible says it, you know, his grace is sufficient for all of us.
Amen.
But it also says, the Bible also says, it says his grace is sufficient. But once you know that that's a sin and you continue to do it anyways and knowingly it's a sin, then that's when it's a different story. Amen. So that's why he's saying, you know, basically he forgave her, but he makes it clear that he's telling her, I don't condemn you, but now that you've been put on the spot, now that your sin has been called out, don't go do this again. Don't go sin anymore.
Amen, amen, amen. And you know, this is God. And when we think that we are approaching with God with some type of human intelligence or wisdom to entrap her, to say, oh no, God, I'm still young to enjoy this life, I don't have time for you. Or maybe if I'm at church, I'm saying, no, I'm not gonna just live as a Christian, real Christian life, because I have things to do. When I'm at church, I'm gonna continue doing what I used to do. And then we are forgetting that he said, I don't condemn you, but go, sin no more.
Sin no more.
It doesn't mean that you might not make a mistake, but then it's different if I'm walking in this path and fall and, you know, stand up and continue walking, then I'm intentionally going to do something that is not right.
Yeah.
Because that's the difference of a heart that want to look the love of God of a heart that want to keep the distance or forsaking the Lord. Just like this, the group of people that they depart from the Lord rather than just say, you know what, God, forgive me. Because I sinned when I came with this trap.
Yeah.
I sinned when I broke the law and I'm a sinner. I have committed a lot of sins, God. I come to you for you to help me to be better.
Yeah.
That would be a different story.
Yeah.
That might be your story, my story. Are you going to forsaken the Lord or to come to the Lord and seek his forgiveness?
Yeah. Yeah, because instead of them, like you said, instead of them recognizing their sin, they just left. They're like, it'd be like me knowing I messed up, but there's no repentance in my heart. There's no, oh, you know, God shows me I'm doing wrong. And instead of repenting and turning away from that, I turn away. Instead of turning away from the sin, I chose to turn away from God and continue living the lifestyle I was living.
Wow.
And that's what's so good about the last verse that Jesus says. He says, I spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So if we're following Jesus, we're not continuing walking in that darkness. We're walking in light. in Jesus. He's the light of life. Amen. So as we follow him, we're to walk in light. We're not to continue walking in that darkness. Like we're saying, we might mess up, but it's a difference between making a mistake and knowingly going back and just saying, that's okay, God. Yeah, you're right, but I'm going to continue doing it. Because right here, they know he was right. Yeah, that's why they walked away. But instead of humbling themselves and being like, you know what, God, we, Jesus, teacher, we came at this the wrong way. You're right. But instead, they just said, whatever. We didn't trick them, so we're just going to continue, find another way later on, and we'll just continue doing what we're doing.
This is really, really how human beings are always trying to run themselves without looking for God's forgiveness.
Yeah.
I know it's hard. I know sometimes we think that we know better. Sometimes we don't want to be open.
Yeah.
Open in front of somebody, which is God. And, you know, sometimes we think that this world is forever, brother. And we don't think ahead, like, wait a minute. Did you know how easy it is for a man to depart from this earth? Just by a little structure in your vein.
Yeah, anything could happen.
Any little things. I see people that are no longer here because they ate something. They joke with that, and that's it. And you will say, what? People walking around, they were not expecting, and they fall in a hole.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that anything can happen. But what I'm trying to say is, you can overcome whatever situation that happened to you when you put your life in God's hands.
Yeah.
And we want to share this scripture, brother. If you go to Romans 9, I believe 10, 9 and 10.
Chapter 9?
Yes, 9 and 10. Because I think this we want to show you how you can become a Christian.
Oh, I don't think that's the one.
It's 10, 10, 9 and 10.
Oh, 10.
Yes. Verse 9 and 10.
Yes, 9 and 10. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth,
listen very carefully,
the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Wow. If you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart.
Yes.
Wow.
Because verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
And that's it, what you need. And also, follow what the Lord said, that in order for you to be saved, you had to born again on the Spirit and water. If you go to a church, if you go to contact a local church that preach God, and that's it, and believe when you talk to the Lord God, I believe that you sent your son to die. I believe in my heart that he died on that cross for me and rose, and you rose him, and that he lived, and that he sent his Holy Spirit for everybody. And I want to be saved. I want to walk in this path.
Yeah. I was going to say, when you think about everything we talked about, you know, don't, as you said, the world's temporary. Don't let your pride or not being humble, don't forsake what's eternal, which is Jesus. Don't forsake what's eternal for something that's temporary. The world is temporary, so don't forsake eternity for temporary situations. If we all mess up every day, and we mess up. Nobody's perfect, but amen. Don't let that get in the way of, oh, you know, I don't need God, or I don't need to turn away from it, or you know what, I'm going to go on my own wisdom. I'm going to go on my own understanding. Like the Bible says, lean not on your understanding, but to lean on God's understanding, to his amen. Wisdom. As they, right here, when they tried to trap him and they were leaning on their own wisdom, because they thought in their mind, I'm sure in this moment, they thought for sure we're going to trick them. Yeah. But remember, God is above all. God's wisdom and knowledge is far past any wisdom and knowledge we have. So sometimes don't lean on your own feelings. Don't let your own feelings and your own wisdom and your own thoughts forsake Jesus or forsake what's eternal. Hey, we mess up, but recognizing it and following Jesus, walking in that light, coming out of the darkness and allowing him to direct us and to direct our path, and allowing him that when he shines that light on us to something that we might have messed up, then we repent and we go and we sin no more. And that's not saying we'll never sin, but whatever he exposed and brought to our attention, don't allow that to continue to let us stumble again into that same mistake. Try your best to turn away and to go a different direction than what you were going before.
Amen, amen. And we know that sometimes we struggle with addiction, behavior that we in our past are used to doing automatically. But that's why you have to start doing something biblically.
Yeah.
And Paul said perfectly, you know, that everything starts in our mind. In fact, I love one of the community or the therapy approach, which is the cognitive behavior therapist, because it works everything in the mind. And I believe that if you are thinking something, in fact, the Bible even go beyond, like when you start to sin, it has been already conceived in your mind. You have a negative thought. You have that thought in your mind and you start thinking. And the Bible says that for you to transform, you have to start renewing your mind by reading the scripture. This is what Paul's saying. You have to renew every day your mind. How am I going to be able to renew my mind? How am I going to be able to do something like that? Because my thought is right there. You know what? By feeling some image from the scripture in your head and meditate on them. Because unless you change those image that you are receiving from the physical environment into something positive, you won't be able to change those thoughts.
Yeah.
Because that's how you conceive. Sin is, at the end, the result is there. But those thoughts are by you processing, you know, looking something. Oh, well, how do you commit adultery in your thought? Before you commit it physically, you're already thinking about those things. Pornography. Before you commit any type of sinful sexual behavior, you're already looking some image that can trigger you. And that's why we have to renew constantly. Hey, if I know that gathering with some people over there, I'm just going to be hearing people cursing, drinking, doing things that are not godly, I'm going to just hang out with people that can share some scripture, like you, brother.
Yeah.
If we sit down, and don't get me wrong, yes, we can watch a movie, we can do something secular, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're going to feed our spirit on the Bible, on the scripture, brothers and friends.
Yeah, understood. Like, renewing our mind, the Bible says to have the mind of Christ. Or even Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Exactly.
So where can we go see how Christ lived or how Paul lived? We got to go to the Bible and see exactly how can I be more like Jesus. We have to decrease so that he can increase. So the only way to do that is to renew our mind and to focus on the teachings and the ways of Jesus and the ways that he told us to live our life. We're born again. We're a new creation. Old things have passed away. And it's a process, but we have to be willing to sacrifice and put away those old things and embrace the new life that we have in Jesus.
Amen. And what we're going to do also to connect with the people outside, we have our number, our phone number specifically for our podcast. So people will be able to contact us, and we're going to try to do some episode live, you know, that connects with people at the same time.
Yeah.
And better just write the number and we will be able to
profound truth.
Yeah, to connect.
Hotline,
amen. And also if definitely you're seeking for a prayer, you can contact our send a WhatsApp text message or a regular text message, you know.
Yeah.
And we also have our WhatsApp, you know. Which is the same, you know. We also have I forgot that we have a channel WhatsApp, which is Profound Truth, you know. So we are connecting on the media to be accessible for you, brother and sister. And I'm going to tell you, a prayer, a way to connect with the God principles is something that always going to make you to be more confident and closer to the Lord. Because if I fill my spirit, if I fill my spirit with the word of God, hey, doesn't matter what I'm at, I'm going to be stronger, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what we are doing. And if you also want to visit some church, definitely we invite us to go.
Yes, we always, like always, we always invite you to our church. It's the Fellowship, Texas City. And the address is 2222 North Highway 146, Texas City, Texas. And we have three services. We have the 8:15, 10 o'clock, and 11:45. So come out, come join us, bring your family, your friends. And we also have a headset that you can receive if you have a family member or friend that maybe speaks Spanish, is their language, or they prefer to hear the message in Spanish. There's a live translation being done for every service so they can come and be right there with you in the same place, same times, gather together.
Amen. That's what we wanted to share with you. And also invite you to our next podcast.
Yes, yes. And join us next week and like, subscribe, follow Amen. Us on all the different definitely. Platforms we have. And
yeah, and we have some, got, you know,
Facebook and TikTok, Instagram.
Yeah, that's true. And in different way we can watch video, we can watch it offline. You know, sometimes the platforms are picky, you know.
Yeah.
But definitely Twitch. we have different platform, you know, that you guys can connect with us. And remember, we are doing this for the Lord and to reach our people.
That's
and
right.
Also we have our daily devotional. If you want to connect, you know, like you feel like, you know what, I want to wake up early and have some word of encouragement, you know, in English or in Spanish, just go to any platform that you listen music. Would it be
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, think what Samsung Podcasts.
Wow.
iHeartRadio. I know there's a couple more.
There's if you don't find it, just and even RSS.com also you can find it over there.
So,
Profound True.
The English one is a Spark of Hope Devotionals and the Spanish is Una Chispa de Esperanza.
Devocional diario. And that's something you can definitely wake up. We do it every day from Monday to Friday. And yeah, it's a lot, but we are pleased because this is worth it for the Lord. You know, whoever's, and I'm going to tell you, brother and sister, sometimes we cannot reach people physically. But using those platforms, we can go to Russia, we can go to the other side of the world.
It's reaching all over.
Yeah. I was looking at the analysis lyric.
Analytics.
And it's like, wow, Lord, we are in Spain, we are in Colombia, we are Mexico, US, Russia. Portuguese, sometimes Spain,
like Germany, all kinds of different places.
Oh, Germany,
it was all over.
And when somebody hears the word of God, that's what it matters, brother and sister. So definitely share this, and don't forget our number.
Yes.
And for the next, probably we're gonna build an episode just to connect with our people, you know. And go we're gonna need to recruit some people, you know, because we cannot do it. That's why I have so many things here, and I cannot concentrate doing the talking, you know, because I had to switch things. But God will provide people that are, you know, are willing to join in and collaborate with us.
Yes. So and until next time.
Yeah. So we're gonna definitely invite everybody to go.
See y'all next week. And-